Thank you for joining us for First United Methodist Church of North Hollywood's weekly podcast, presented by Dr. Joey McDonald.
The scripture reading for today is Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 3b through 13. In this biblical passage, the Apostle Paul describes the Holy Spirit as the source of a variety of gifts given to support the ministry and corporate good of the people of God. The Revised Common Lectionary assigns this passage for the day of Pentecost, or roughly the 50th day after Easter Sunday. This then is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 3b through 13, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, "Jesus be cursed," and no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. And to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. May the Lord bless to our use through Pastor Joey's message this reading of his holy word.
Pray with me if you will. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern, O God, until we do something. Amen. In this text, Paul explains how the Spirit of God is distributed among the believers. Paul underscores that the varieties of gifts, services, and activities all come from the same Spirit, the same Lord, and the same God. Paul's insistence on the oneness of God and the unity of the Spirit counteracts the pantheism of paganism, which abounded in this time and era. It's also interesting to note that the words of Paul lay the groundwork for the very early of a much later and explicit development of the Trinitarian doctrine, the notion of God three in one. That by the Spirit distributed spiritual gifts upon all believers left little room for rivalry, little room for discontent or a feeling of superiority among the Christians of Corinth. Of course, we all know that this is no longer true in this day and age. For it's exactly what we do as denominations and congregations. We separate the wheat from the chaff and say who is in and who is out by the marks of their spiritual gifts. Some churches don't accept anybody who does not speak in tongues, for example. But no less than Paul says the gift of glossolalia, that of speaking in tongues, is a minor gift among a believing community. It's important to note that no member has a gift for his or her private use. Connectivity is of supreme importance. Beginning with verse 8, Paul describes those varieties of gifts and the believers that are given by the Spirit and the Spirit alone. In verse 12, he introduces one of the most dominant Christian metaphors for the church, that is, the human body, with Christ as the head. Paul's words call us back to community and to accountability and service to one another in a fully connected community of faith. In a phrase, with regard to the body analogy, when the vital organs for living, the brain, the heart, the liver, the lungs, and kidneys, are not working, only bad things can happen. So it is for the church. When elements vital for her survival are impaired, she becomes vulnerable and subject to failure. There's an old story, maybe apocryphal, perhaps true, of the angels greeting Jesus at his ascension into heaven. They had heard of his exploits on earth, and now it was their chance to ask, to hear it straight from him. He spoke truthfully of tying the Pharisees up in knots when they attempted to ask him silly questions on faith and belief and practice. He spoke of the power of preaching and teaching, healing and the miracles. So someone asked, "Lord, now that you are no longer roaming the earth, who will share the good news?" "I've got a plan," said Christ. "I've selected 11 followers, my closest. To them, I've given the responsibility of sharing the good news." Another angel responded, "They must have some incredible talents, those 11. "Well, no," said the Lord. "These are average people with ordinary talents and activities. They are vain and sometimes foolish. One of them, among their leaders, denied me 3 times. "But Lord," said another angel, "how are you sure they will get the job done?" "To be perfectly honest, I can't be sure," said Jesus. "What do you mean you can't be sure? What is your backup plan?" Quietly, Christ answered, "I have no backup plan." Some followers of Christ have done okay without a backup plan. Mother Teresa is a shining example. Not long after she started the Missionaries of Charity in Calcutta, India, she opened a medical clinic right next to a Hindu temple. The Hindus objected. It was sacrilege, they declared, to have an order of Christian sisters living next door to their temple. They insisted that their leader get rid of those sisters. He agreed. One day he went to pay a call on this Albanian nun and her sisters. Mother Teresa received him warmly. She asked him to follow her on her rounds as she bathed and nursed the dying. After visiting her clinic, the Hindu leader recalled years later that, having watched her care for the poor, "I went back to my congregation and said, 'When you willingly go to the clinic and do for the poor what Mother Teresa is doing, then I will get rid of her. As you know, the clinic is still open even after her death.'" To this day, we know that Mother Teresa was never one for standing around or looking up to the sky. She was connected to those in need, to the least and the lost, to those on the margins. We are no less called because there is this unique connection that we have. Through Jesus, we are called to the least and the lost and the lonely, to those who are marginalized, to those who need the claim and hope of love. Oh, we argue about who has the gifts and who doesn't, and then we're reminded, sometimes in ways we don't want to be reminded, that you don't have to speak in tongues, you don't have to wave snakes about the congregation, to get it. You just have to love. A couple of weeks ago, there was a note on the internet about a pastor who felt he needed to illustrate the ability and faith of being able to walk on water. So he entered a pond full of crocodiles. Yeah, they ate him. We live in a natural world, and we must not test the natural world about us. Otherwise, we might be it. We live in a spiritual world where we are called to test the limits, the hopes, the dreams, the power of love let loose in ways untold. That's what it means to be connected. Then and now, may it ever be so. Amen. Beloved, we come now to a time of sharing in the sacrament of communion. I would remind you that neither myself nor this congregation are host. Christ alone is host, and therefore all are welcome to participate in the sacrament of Holy Communion. Will those who are to assist please come forward at this time? And the liturgy is found on page 9 in your hymnal.